look at a political leader. You know, we have this is a year that we'll either re-elect or elect a president, and you know, they're already out on the campaign trail, and they're criticizing one another and their ideas and all that stuff, and so we're going to look at a political leader that is somewhat of a bully. In fact, he's a real bully. But, you know, aren't you glad God gives us just about anything we can think of, God gives us the answers in here, doesn't he? If we just dig them out and look at it. And so we'll look at that today. And as we're looking at that, I want you to remember, or put it in this context, that though anybody in authority, you know, we're looking at a political leader today that was a bully, he was a dictator, and but you could use this same context, same material today, same word from the Scripture, to apply to your supervisor, your boss, your CEO, whoever it might be. So just keep that in mind as we look at the Word of God today, because sometimes it can be very difficult, can it? If you get, you know, Jake is in the military, and he's been stationed all over the world, literally, and I'm sure Dave has experienced the same thing. And for you that hasn't been in the military, you go to different places, and there's always some good supervisors, and there's always some of those supervisors that just, you know, you think, man, I can't wait to go on to my next base or whatever. Same way if you're not military, if you're working in business, there's most companies somewhere in the side of the company will have bullies, people that like to just throw their weight around and yell and scream, and if you oppose them. And then here's the ones that really get me, is the ones that assume authority. You know, we talked about Mary or Martha last week, how she really assumed authority because it was her house to be critical, and God never gave us permission to be critical. It doesn't matter if it's your house or my church, you know, in your church, when people come, God never gave us the right to be critical of people and to be mean. He never did. So, but there's always going to be people inside a company. I don't care where it is, you know, and I deal with this with leaders and people that I coach or what, though. You know, there's always a bully in there. Some of them are in supervisory positions, and some of them have assumed authority. And they're bullies, and if you don't line up with what they're trying to achieve, or if you get on their turf, or you mess with them, you just know that these bullies, whether it's assumed authority or real authority, you know, they've been given authority, they're going to get loud, and they're going to get more intense to prove their point and to protect their territory and to keep it for what's best for them. That's the difference, isn't it? You know, there's always going to be conflict wherever there's people. How many realize that? Doesn't matter if it's your family. I got a great wife, but believe it or not, once in a while we have a little conflict. I know you just can't believe that. Remember I taught you what we call at our house, it's not conflict, it's intense fellowship. But it's just going to come. You raise children, you're going to have conflict. But how many knows if you're raising children, God gave you authority. You have authority over your children. I believe as long as they're under your roof, you have authority. And not only authority, but you have responsibility to rule in your home as husband and wife, and whoever's in charge, you know, that comes with responsibility. And if you don't keep order in your home. When I counsel parents, you know, that their house is out of order, it's always the end result is this. You can either create consequences and stand by those that line up with this, or you can suffer the mess that they're bringing into your house because ultimately you are the final authority. And God will hold you accountable whether we do or not. It's amazing to me, you know, the CEO of the house, if you want to put it that way, which is the mom and the dad, or if you're a single parent, you, and how we'll put up with mess and act like we don't know what we're going to do about it, and we don't, you know, but we'll still give an account when we stand before God for keeping order in our house or not. Here's one of the things that I have most, when I'm doing counseling, this is more prevalent than anything, is parents think they cannot give consequences because their kids might move out or their kids might not, you know, they might Well, for instance, we were at one of our relatives one year, years and years ago, and we stayed the night with some of our relatives, and we woke up the next morning, and their son and some girl came out of their room, out of his room, and I just shocked, and I said, "Did you know they were sleeping in that room?" And they said, "Oh, I know, I hate it, but you know, I'm afraid if we don't let them sleep here, they'll be out on some country road and get killed or something." That was her deal. And what do you say to that? I mean, you know, she's living in fear, and her son's living in fornication in their house, and because they're afraid to uphold the word of the living God. So they live in the mess. They live in the fornication. And I think at the time, if Jesus were to come, they would have given account because the authority was not assumed. It had been given to them as parents to be parents to their children. So whether you're a CEO of the house or a CEO of a company or a supervisor, or you're under some CEO or supervisor, we're going to look at both of those today and see how God says we should handle that. Now, I know Mitt Romney, he criticizes Barack Obama and everything he's done. But, you know, some of the stuff he's done has been good, whether you agree with everything or not. But here's what I know about political leaders. We're not to criticize political leaders. We're to pray for them. And so just a little, you know, we're not getting into politics, but, you know, Mitt started off, and he was really just running negative, terrible negative ads about the other candidates. I mean, awful ads, and which some of them said they weren't true. And I, you know, just give me a bad taste for him. You may be a Mitt Romney fan and love him and all, and I'm not. I'm just saying we have no right to get on TV or anywhere else and criticize people in authority. God never gave us that right to do that. I don't care how much you oppose them, and I have family and I know certain groups. I will not bring up politics because they're so critical. They can't discuss it in a civilized manner. So I just, you know, unless I want to aggravate them, then I'll throw something out there. If I'm just in an aggravate mood, you know, I'll just throw something, watch them just. Well, it said don't provoke your children to wrath. It didn't say nothing about your relatives, did it? Everybody got your sword and ready to look today at the Word of God? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we go, we're going to go to Daniel chapter 3, a familiar passage, but turn with me to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. And so we just kind of set a standard here before we look at our scripture. Because I don't know, you know, this is like I said, this is an election year and we'll all be sick of the commercials before it's over. You know, it's just, there's a new poll out the other day that said people are already sick of the commercials. You know, and they'll just get worse and more, and they'll be more critical. And what I'd like for us to do is not get caught up in that. You know, some of it probably will be true, and some of it probably won't be true, and all that. But here, what you and I will be concerned with when we stand before God is what we said, what we did, how we reacted or acted to whatever said about either candidate. So it says in 1 Timothy 2:1, "Therefore I exhort first of all that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for who? All men." So, you know, for all men, you know, we're not to criticize. If there's something that needs to be handled, it says, you know, there's something out of order. It says, as a brother or sister, you go to them and confront them. And then if they don't take heed there and bring it back in order, or at least give you reason and you were wrong. How many know sometimes you think things are out of order and you go and you had a wrong assumption. It looked one way and it was a different way once you talked about it. But that's why we need to go to a brother or sister that's out of order and visit. But pray for them, you know, spend time at the altar before God, asking blessing for them. In the news, on the news channels in Ada and in the newspaper the next day, one of our friends that used to be in a singing group with us, he was our bass player, great guy. He's the director of a nursing home in Sulphur now. And it came out this week that he has been ordering painkillers that he said doctors had called in. And I don't know how he did this without a, but him and the assistant director, which is one of somehow is kin to our family, and I don't know them. Jana knows them vaguely, but anyway, it was two of them and then three or four others that had ordered narcotics to the tune of 8,400 of one certain type pill, and then over 600 of another, which is about worth $20 a pill on the street. And finally, they were caught. And I thought, how can you go from singing and preaching and giving your heart to God and then doing something like this, you know, taking prescriptions that should be distributed to the elderly and then calling in false prescriptions and doing this in the name of money. Those are people in authority, and where much is given, much is required. Now, when that came out, I just thought, you know, Jackie knows better. I know him very well, know his upbringing and where he's been in the Lord. But I prayed for him, and then Philip and I, in our prayer time this morning, as we was praying over the service, we had prayer for him and that God would bless him and take this bad situation and turn his heart toward God. Because he was a man of authority. He was the director of nursing at this facility. And so that's our part. It's not to criticize and say, well, you know, I hope he gets what he deserves. You know, we need to be careful with what I'm saying when we're talking about people of authority that are in trouble, that have done things. I like the old saying, but by the grace of God, so go I. So, and it may not be in that area, but every person here struggles in areas where, but by the grace of God. Are you with me? So he says, making supplication for all men. And then verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. All godliness and reverence. And so he didn't say if it's a just king, if it's a president of your favor, your choice, or not. He didn't say if you like their policies or not. He said that it is our part to pray for them that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. And I'll show you in just a minute with our story that I believe these guys that are there serving this dictator, this unjust, this bully of a king, I think they prayed these kind of prayers because they flourished underneath this dictator. How many know that we can either blame our situation where we are, you can blame the economy, or you can go out and work hard and make something in this economy? It's amazing to me, isn't it, you, that people just, you know, gripe about the economy and they paint this bleak picture, and most of us drive around in pretty decent cars and live in a pretty decent house, and yet we'll just still gripe and act like it's terrible. Isn't that amazing to you? It's because we get caught up in, you know, in what's being said around us. Instead of being the influencer, we become influenced by negative things. And so it doesn't say if you like it, if you not don't like it. It said you pray for them. You know, this is be a part of the solution, in other words. Don't be a part of the problem. How many knows that we can gripe about anything? That's easy, isn't it? Get up and criticize somebody doing the work and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So it says when you do that, when you pray for those kings and those in authority, and you pray for all men, he says, verse 3, for this is good. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. So this is, if you want to know, well, what is pleases God? Well, this is one of the things that pleases God, that we get up and we pray for people and not gripe about or complain about people. You know, how many has ever fixed anything by complaining? All it fixes is your little mood that we're in at that time, right, when we complain. We get it off our chest, we do our little complaint, we feel better, and then people around us is like, boy, they criticize one. I wonder if they criticize me when they're out of my sight. It says, it's a good, and then verse 4, who desires all men to be saved? All men to be saved. He desires that all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So we need to pray. That's our part, and it's acceptable, it's good when in the Lord's sight. So go to Daniel chapter 3. And by the way, before I start reading, if you turned over in Daniel 1 and 2 and you begin to read, you'd find that God had set Nebuchadnezzar up in authority. And so, in fact, he's pretty much, in his known world, his scope of reach and influence, he is the authority. And the Bible says he is because God gave him the ability to do what he's doing as king and leader of Babylon. So if you're criticizing him, and I think it's the same way with Barack Obama, and I think it'll be the same way with the next president, whether it's Barack or Mitt or whoever it is, I think it'll be the same way. God gives people ability and puts them in position. And so when we criticize our leaders, we're really criticizing God's handiwork. Now, here, you know, we criticize on policies and issues and things about the economy and how good it's doing or not and unemployment and all that kind of stuff. And we rate men, our leaders, like that, and then we criticize. Here's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which, you know, they've all been given new names because this dictator of a king has brought them to Babylon and put them in service because they're educated and they can serve his purpose. Can you imagine in that setting trying to serve a leader? They've jerked you out of the United States. Let's say Japan won, and you know, we talked about that a little earlier, and they chose you because you of your expertise, some talent that you could use for them, and they've taken you over to their country, make you learn their language and serve in all their customs and things, and so here you are, and you're getting promoted, and your family, maybe they killed off part of your family, that probably was a real likelihood, or at least they left them behind, and no telling what kind of oppression they're under, you don't know, but you're having to serve under that, and still, you're so in tune with God. The Bible says for Daniel, he had a different spirit about him. And it's really important that we note that, because here is a terrible leader, a dictator, and he's, you know, at his word, people are killed, or maybe a group can be beheaded. And in fact, one place in the scripture here, it talks about he had a dream. And how would you like to serve under this guy? He has a dream, and he calls his counselors, astrologers, and all of his officials together and said, I need an interpretation of my dream. They said, tell us the dream. He said, no, you tell me the dream and the interpretation, or I'm going to cut your head off. I mean, like to serve in somebody like that. Should we still pray for him? We just read it said, for all those in authority. Now listen, we can learn something here today. We can learn that in an oppressed state, in a oppressed situation, we can be at peace and we can be promoted right under a dictator, somebody that's a true bully and shows his colors. We can be promoted and blessed by the hand of God if we do our part instead of getting caught up. Because how many knows it's a natural thing to do is to criticize somebody that's harsh on you? That's just how many say that is the natural process? How many has ever had somebody criticize you and say, oh, bless their heart, I'm just going to pray for them? And some of you would probably say, well, I've done that. And here's what I'd say to you, then you are mature in the Lord. When you can have somebody that's over you, supervisor, boss, somehow they're in authority and they abuse you verbally, mentally, emotionally, they demote you, whatever, they say something, a lie or whatever, you know, against you. And you say, you know, bless their heart, I'm going to pray for them because that's what God had me to. Instead of getting an attitude and say, well, just wait till, here's our natural tendency. You just wait till they need something from me. Now, how many has ever said that? Look at all the unholy people in this place. That's our natural tendency, isn't it? And we have to fight that, and we have to say, no, that's not what God said. God said to pray for those in authority. And so, but that's not our natural tendency. That is a supernatural thing that hopefully we come into when we mature in God. Now, let me say this. Remember last week when I was talking about we can be a silent bully? Whenever we criticize our leaders, those that have authority over us, that's what we become. We become, in essence, we become just as bad as they are because now we're puffed up against them. We don't have anything good to say. We might talk bad about them every chance we get or agree with somebody that is and all these sort of things. So that's our natural tendency. But what I'd like for us to do today is say, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to, after today, I don't care what they're like, my part is going to be consistent like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'm going to be consistent with my word, my work. Some of you say, you know what, I'm not doing, and here's another natural tendency. Somebody gets on to you and about something undone, and you say, well, I'm not doing anything other than just my job. You ever said that because somebody at work got on to you? Well, I'll guarantee you this. I'll just do what I have to do, and I won't do any more. Well, you're just as bad as the dictator. I'm just as bad as the dictator when I do that. Well, they made me mad. Well, I'm sure they did. Get over yourself and get glad. That's all he's saying to us. And so here's three young men that has really floated to the top. And then Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And we'll look at the dream in let me just say this about it. He had a dream, and the head of this statue was gold. That, remember, he said he wouldn't tell his men. They had to tell him the dream, then interpret the dream. The head was gold, and the chest was silver and bronze, you know, and it went iron and clay, and it's all. And so Daniel gives the interpretation. Well, the head was gold. And the reason I wanted to tell you that is because Nebuchadnezzar is getting ready to make this humongous statue, like 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, of gold. Wouldn't you like to go over an archaeology hunt and find that? And the reason, it doesn't say, but I think probably this is a 90-foot statue of him. He's that kind of guy, because the head was gold. And he said, Daniel said, which represents you, O king, because you have all this authority and power that God has given you. So it doesn't say it's him, but my hunch is, after this dream's been interpreted and his head is gold, then he makes a big gold statue of himself. So here we go, chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to all together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, all the officials, in other words, everybody that was anybody, to come, and the dedication of the image which the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And so all of these officials and things, they come, verse 3 and verse 4. Then a herald cried out aloud, to you it is commanded. And here's how he rules his kingdom. He's just a bully of a king. It's not by consent. It's not by, respect for anyone and what they do. And that's what bullies do. They don't respect you. That's why we call them bullies. They don't respect you, how you operate, what you think. They don't ask. And it says, to you it is commanded. It is commanded, O peoples, nations, and language, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Now that's pretty blunt in itself, isn't it? But watch his next statement, and here's how bullies operate. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And so it's not just a fiery furnace, it's a burning fiery furnace. That would be kind of the equivalent of me telling you, welcome to Prayer of Faith today. We hope you've had a good week. And it's time to take the offering. Today you are required to give 10%, and if we find out you're not giving 10%, we will check the books in a little while, and everybody did, and we're going to cut your head off. Men, come forward. I mean, that's about the equivalent of what he's done. Can you imagine sitting there thinking, you know, your whole attitude would change, wouldn't it? You wouldn't be giving under love or out of commitment to Christ anymore. You'd be giving out of fear. And one thing I know is most people, if you're one of those people that commands with fear, you're going to lose all your loyalty. If you can name a person at your work or in your family or whatever that controls through fear and threats, you just know nobody in the company or the family or anybody is going to have any kind of loyalty or respect for that person. But here's what he does have. He has authority. He has authority to back up what he's saying. That's why, you know, when you study history and you see in a movie where there's a king and he's getting ready for a banquet or something, that's why you see somebody tasting his drink before he gets a drink. Because there's always somebody out to try to poison him or, you know, put something in his drink. You ever been to a restaurant and somebody just really gets irate in your party and they're ripping the waiter apart and they take their food back and you think, oh, I hope they don't spit in our food. King Nebuchadnezzar has to live like that all the time. Because you can't have you just can't give that kind of bark out, those kind of threatening commands and have loyalty and people that's going to respect you. That's why we call them bullies. But remember, God has given him the authority and set him up in this position. So what I'm wanting us to do today is to say, you know what? If we change our thinking and we're not like the average person, we're like the average Christian that should be saying, I don't care what they do. That doesn't concern me. My part is to pray for them. Even if they bark out these kind of ridiculous commands, my part is to pray for them and ask God's blessing on them. Help them and show them. And by the way, these three are getting promoted. They have been promoted to the rank they are. Here's something else I want you to catch in this verse. In verse 6, the word immediately. Just keep that in your mind. If you do not fall down and worship this idol, you'll be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now remember that he said this is his decree, because here's what bullies do. I want to show you how subtle they are. Verse 7, so at that time when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, and all the music, verse 8, therefore at the time of certain Chaldeans came forward, because they're supposed to fall down and worship, and they came forward accusing the Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 9, they spoke and said, King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. And you notice how what they put on before his greeting is, O king. They know this is respect. You, O king, have made a decree, and everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, and all the instruments shall fall down and worship at the gold image. Verse 11, whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Well, they left out immediately, didn't they? I mean, why didn't they immediately cast them into the burning fire? Is that not his decree? Is that not what he said? Is that not what's supposed to be upheld? Is not, you don't take them before the king. You go immediately into the fiery furnace. Immediately. It's not let's go consult the king type thing. And you say, well, probably the reason they did that is because they had authority. They were men of authority. Well, this is the king's decree. This is the king's decree, and it's not immediately like he said it was going to be. And the reason it's not immediately is because he knows their value, and he doesn't like it because of what they've done. But here's what bullies do. They may not like it, but they'll change their... They're just like the blowing of the wind. They'll change their mind if it benefits them. Show me a bully, and I'll show you somebody that they'll bend the rules as much as they can to benefit them. Oh, yeah, but, you know, that doesn't really apply here. Oh, you know, that however they can bend the rules, because if it benefits them. In fact, let me give you this. Some of us as parents can become bullies when we bend the rules for ourselves and when the kids call us on a rule that we... You ever had your kids do that? Don't you hate it when you have sharp kids that'll just call you on whatever they speak of? I think that's pretty cool. And if your kid calls you on a rule that you set, and I never forget one time we went to church with a family, had a huge family, and the dad was all flustered and frustrated because he said, almost, you know, had a bunch of little kids. He said, almost every meal, one of the kids would spill their drink. Almost, and he said, he made a decree. You know, he's the king of his castle, right? He made this decree. He said, the next kid that spills a drink is going to bed without supper. And he hadn't taken but a few bites, and he reached out mad, knocked his drink over. said the kids are sitting there cracking up and saying, let's, you know, settle up, settle up. So we have to be careful what kind of decrees we make. And he didn't go to bed without supper, and he changed his decree. But I just wanted you to catch that, because sometimes we look at Scripture and that's this. I thought it was really powerful that a bully will change whatever. They didn't go to the fiery furnace like they should have, like he decreed, because it's not in his best interest. So they bring him in to Nebuchadnezzar, and here's the accusation, verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you have set. You notice, whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods nor worship the gold image which you have set up. And that's a fact. They do not do that. Nebuchadnezzar, now watch. Here's. Remember a while ago I told you when bullies get mad and you call a bully, you know what they do? They get louder and more intense. You ever notice that with a bully? They'll get louder and more intense. Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. The king spoke, saying to them, now watch this. What? Remember, immediately, they're supposed to be in the fiery furnace. Immediately, but here's what he says. He doesn't command. He's working his angle as a bully. And so he starts off nicely. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods? Surely this is a rumor. That's not, that couldn't be true, could it? That you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? And he doesn't give them time to answer. That's another M.O. of a bully. They don't give you time to answer. They just keep spouting off till they feel like they've forced you into whatever they're wanting to accomplish. Now, he says, you know, he asks a question, but he goes right on. Now, if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, and all these instruments, he said, good. But if not, if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, that's what the decree was, and so he's already bent that to serve his purpose. Now, watch this. He adds another little forceful tag. That was the decree, but he's going to add something else on there. And this way bullies will do, watch them, because they're going to add something else on to try to sway you to do what they're telling you you need to do. He says, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Just a little added pressure. That's what bullies do. Remember I was telling you about the kid that was a grade above me that was always making other kids carry his gym clothes into the, you know, from the field to the back to the gym. And I stood him that day, and I never had to carry his clothes. But he would add stuff, and he'd tag kids, and that was his M.O. So verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to him, King, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. You know what? That's really important that we look at that. Here's why they're not arguing with the king. Is because before they went to the king, they had already established how they're going to operate, how they're going to live. They've already established their standard of living. I heard a pastor one time at a conference, and he was talking to a bunch of pastors, and he said that, you know, when pastor, he said, when you go out of town, a pastor or leader, he said, you know what? He said, here's what I do. He said, I don't have to wonder what I'm going to watch on TV, if it's going to be filthy or not. I've already decided before I left home. He said, you set your standard at the altar at home. You don't set it when you go out and debate. And I thought, that's a good principle for us to use anywhere we are. What do you stand for? You know, in any given area, what are your values? What are your principles and morals? And stand there and know those before you leave home. And if you cross them, how many knows if you cross them and you've put those in concrete, that this is what I stand for, this is my values, this is who I am, this is the mountain I'll die on. If we establish those before we leave home, then if we do cross them once we're out because of some heat of the moment, we'll know immediately, won't we? And the conviction of the Holy Spirit can come just boom. Instead of waiting and debating. It's kind of like new couples sometimes when they're coming in and they'll say, well, we're just struggling and we haven't hard time getting to church. And I said, well, stop voting. And most of the time they'll say, well, what do you mean stop voting? I said, well, I used to do that myself. Every Sunday, it was a vote. Do I go to church or do I lay here in bed? And we'd have a vote. What do you think, Ma? I don't care. You know, what do you want to do? And we just stopped voting. And one Sunday I said, the Bible said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So I just got up and went to church. I stopped voting and I've never had a problem since. It's just what Christians do. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. I just decided, you know, that the Bible says that I shouldn't lust after my neighbor's stuff. The Bible says I shouldn't covet. The Bible says that I, you know, whatever it says, then set that in stone and you don't have to worry about that when you get out in the public where all these things can take place. They've already established. He said, we don't have any need to answer you in this matter. We've already, it's just everything that they've accused us of, it's true. We don't serve your gods and we're not bound to this big statue. That is an absolute fact. Guilty as charged. Then they said to this in verse 17, if that is the case, you've made the decree. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able. Everybody say God is able. God is able. That's a... You know, that's something we have to get in our mind and heart, that God is able, and then that's where faith comes in, and then this is where sovereignty comes in. Who God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And can I be honest with you? Up to this point, they have no record of anybody being delivered from a burning fiery furnace. We have hindsight, but they don't have a story like this. They can stand and read where God... And can you imagine for the first time ever having this conversation with a pagan king and saying, God is able. I'm sure they're probably thinking, he probably won't, but he's able. But here's the sovereignty of God. And here's, you know, here's where I think we all need to live. And He will. He's able to deliver us out of the heated, fiery furnace, but He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. How many knows the death rate so far in this world is 100%? And I don't know how you're going to die or I'm going to die, but just know this, we're all going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. And then the judgment. We'll give an account for what we've lost and what we've gained. So I like this, and it's a little off the subject, but it's not, because when you're dealing with bullies or dictators or people that are in authority that are rude and crude, just know this, that it ultimately God will bless you if you and I keep our attitude and our heart right before Him. That's really important to note that. Because it's so easy to get caught up when we're pushed and bullied like this. I love what they say. You know, He's able and He will. This is about us and God. It's not about you, King. We hate that we're in your sphere of influence and that we're having to deal with your stupidity and all this, you know, these stupid decrees. But this is our sense. This is our line. This is what we decided before we left home today. We're not bowing to the statue, and hopefully nobody will see or care, but we're not going to bow. And let me tell you something, church. How many knows if this decree had been given out and we're standing there, especially if we have little kids and we're standing there holding our little kids and we walk down to this big old statue, you know, and we're looking at it and we know that we're all going to get our head chopped off if we don't bow. How many would just be tempted, maybe just tempted to say, well, we're not really bowing to Him. We're just going to do, you know, I'm the dad, I'm the mother, we got to protect our family, so we're not bowing to Him. We're going to bow down to Jesus. Let's just go ahead and bow down to Jesus. How many knows it would be really tempting to do that, wouldn't it? And maybe not only tempting, but maybe it would just be good common sense. How many could say, that's just good common sense? We have to be careful when we try to use good common sense and it contradicts what God's Word says. I see people use that all the time. Well, I know the Bible says I should tithe, but I know that God said I should forgive him, but I know that God said I should pray over them, but I just, and we use common sense. Well, see, I wouldn't feel anything if I prayed over them, so I'm just not going to, I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I just won't pray blessings over them. All I'm saying is we have to be careful when we're trying to use common sense and it contradicts God's Word. They took a stand and God can come forth. How many knows when we take a stand, God can come forth? I think at work, if you have a bully, your family, if you have a bully, wherever it may be, there's a bully, I think you need to draw your line. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and say, you know what? I may participate or let you rant and rave, but when it comes to encroaching on my beliefs and on this is where I'm going to draw the line. This is where I'm going to stand. And if you come over here, I'm going to meet you nose to nose. I'm amazed at how many families, how many companies, organizations, even churches. You know, we've had people come here and say, Pastor told us everything we did, we're supposed to do and could do and not do. So it's not just in the secular world, it's everywhere where people try to dictate and tell. But you are accountable for you and your family to draw your moral, ethical lines and say, this is what we will stand for. This is what we will die for. We're an interdenominational church. We have people here that believe you can fall from grace, and we have people here that believe that once you're eternally secure, you're eternally secure. And a lot of churches, if you go into them and you like everything about them but some point of doctrine, they wouldn't let you stay. They sure wouldn't give you any authority at all. But here's what we thought. We thought, you know what? There's two big camps and there's thousands, maybe millions of people on both these camps that believe this way, and one of them's wrong. And all the people over here in this camp believe this camp's wrong. All the people in this camp believe that camp's wrong. And they're all in authority, you know, the bishops and superintendents and all that, they're all in authority. They're all accountable, aren't they? They're all there. They're going to give an account when they stand before God someday. And one of them's going to have to say, okay, you were right. But God still loves them. And it does my heart good to see them coming together more in the last days. Dropping their difference and saying, you know what, we're not quite as all-knowing as we thought we were. We might need to issue a different decree. A little grace and a little. So God is able, but if not, he will deliver us out of your hand. But if not, let it be known to you, O King, verse 18, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Here's the bully. Now watch the bully. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, what a surprise. That's what bullies do. When you don't agree with them, their whole expression changes. At Jana's last job, she had a lady like that in her. And for months, she griped about this lady to me, and I'm her sounding board, and I understand that. And I give my gripes to her, and she gives her gripes to me. And I say, you need to meet her nose to nose every time. And for a while, she wouldn't do it. And so we was headed out. I think we was going to a rodeo somewhere, and she started up with this lady again. I said, I don't want to hear it. That wasn't very popular. It was a quiet rodeo that night. I said, I don't want to hear it, but, and the reason I don't want to hear it is because we've been over this, and you've done nothing about it, and I don't want to hear anything else about it. She really pouted at me. Listen, and the lady was a bully, still is a bully today, but Jana finally just got to where she'd meet her every time. She'd go nose to nose with her. And she had to really do some confronting. I mean, really lay it out there for her to understand. That's what you have to do to bullies. You have to make it very plain to a bully that every time you start with this attitude, because we got to do business together, just know that I'm going to call you on it every time. I'm going to look at you. I'm going to make you yell at me or whatever you do, but I'm going to meet you right where you are. And and if I need to approach you, I'm going to approach you, because bullies, you know, nobody wants to approach a bully in the office, do they? Don't you have people in your office that they say, go talk to so-and-so and see if, I'm not going in there. Well, be the one that says, I'll go in there. What do we need? Whatever we need, I'll go in there and I'll approach. And if you go with a good attitude and you're prayerful over them and you're praying that God will help you to lead a quiet, peaceful life with them and just trust God that, you know what, it's going to get better for you. And it wasn't long till she had no problems with this lady at all. Not with her. Now, she didn't change with others, but she didn't have any problems with herself. Because if you confront a bully and you stand and you're not doing it out of spite, you're doing it because God said, you know, that we have to draw the line with where we're at and what we believe in and do it in a godly way. So he's full of rage. His expression on his face changed and he spoke to them and commanded that they heat the fiery furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. Like it wouldn't, does that make any rational sense? You got a fiery furnace. It's going to kill them. Oh, let's heat it 7 times hotter. That's because he's not rational. I mean, how hot can it get? Is it going to kill him worse? I'm going to really kill you. This is real hot heat here. Yeah. That's because they make stupid decrees. He made a stupid decree in the first place without thought of anybody's religion or how they worship or how they act. And now he's having to back it up with more threats and bigger threats. And so, and it'll always wind up costing them. It always does. You know, when John Edwards was running for president, you know, the American boy, Jenner and I are like, well, why isn't he more popular? Why isn't he getting more votes? And then all the scandal came out. His affair and how many knows? We don't have to know. God knows. God knows when we're not right. God knows when we're, you know, out living in committed sin. We don't have to worry about that stuff. Not too many years ago, I had a phone call and pastor had adultery with this lady, and one of the members called and said, he's coming back. He's coming back in the pulpit next Sunday. I said, no, he's not. He said, yeah, he said he'd be back next Sunday, that he's going to continue on as pastor. I said, no, he's not. He said, how do you know? I said, because God won't let him. He's not coming back. I said, you can't commit adultery and be found out during the week and come back and get in your preaching spot on Sunday. Hey, well, he said he was. I said, well, he's not. Come Sunday, the board said, you're not welcome back in the pulpit here. Don't come back expecting to get in the pulpit here next Sunday. And he didn't. God holds us accountable, doesn't he? He holds us accountable. And if we think we're not accountable to anybody, well, think again, because we are. I don't care if you're king and you have the power and authority to cast wherever, whatever, do whatever you want. We are all men under authority. And it helps me to know that when somebody's, you know, brutally rough with me or, you know, say something that slanders my name or whatever, to know that, you know what, you better be careful because you are a man or a woman under authority. I've been called a dictator. A woman wrote a letter to me one time and called me a dictator. Said I was just like the Apostle Paul, and I thought, wow, what a compliment. She called me a dick because he said that women should keep silent and not teach or preach. And I didn't back that up, but I had disagreed with her on another issue about who Melchizedek was, and she didn't like it, and she called me a dictator. And I thought, you know, that's okay. That's who you think I am. But she didn't address the letter that when she wrote to me, and I thought, it's really not fair. If you're going to shoot at somebody in authority, you need to put your name on it. You know, it's okay to call people, you know, to accountability, but put your name on it. Don't just send a note to somebody. Kind of like emails today. I hate emails. Companies run their companies with emails. You can't tell the attitude of an email. Oh, it's convenient, and I can just really vent when I, you know, you don't have to face anybody. You know, you can't tell. You could take something that could be the slightest bit controversial, and depending on the receiver's attitude that day, they'll probably take it the wrong way. I'm just saying, if you're going to shoot somebody in authority and keep them accountable, go to them nose to nose, just like they did. They just stood there nose to nose to him and said, you know what, we will not, you got that right, we will not, we don't serve your gods and we will not bow today. That's a fact. They stood up and they said it, nose to nose with the king. So he heats it up, you know, seven times hotter, and in verse 20, and he commanded certain mighty men. Now here's some great, you know, they're calling them mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind them. And so here he's about to lose three of his top leaders, and now he's has these outstanding soldiers that he's going to command to throw them into the fiery furnace. And because of the stupid decree to try to heat this thing hotter than it should ever be heated, these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and the other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 22, therefore, because the king's stupid command, and I added stupid, it's not in the New King James. His stupid command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here's all these men of valor, and now their families are devastated. They've lost their dads, their husbands, their whatever, you know, they were, because of a stupid decree of a bully that is got out of order. He's out of order. And here's what I found about bullies. They'll always hurt themselves when they start this, they're ranting and raving. They always will. That's just, take that to the bank. They will eventually hurt themselves through their ranting and raving. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. Remember, he's in fury and rage. And when they stood up for their principles and morals, he's astonished. Now, you may not be in a fiery furnace, but I'm telling you, when you stand up for what's right, and you've prayed about it, and you've been praying for the bully, the, you know, the person that's pushing you around or causing all this mess and family organization, wherever it's at, listen, just know that God can still astonish those that are trying to bash you and me. But it's hard, isn't it? Because we want to do it in our own power, in our own self. I'll show them. It's hard to keep that attitude out. But if you can, here's the payoff. He was astonished. He rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not? And don't you love it how he say, we cast three men? Everything's I will until, you know, it doesn't go his way. And then, oh, look what we did. Didn't we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now listen, Jesus may not show up in this spirit form like he did here for them, because your trial and my trial won't be probably, you know, life or death. But what he will do is show up in presence, in spirit. He'll show up in the essence that people will know that, you know what, there's something different about these individuals. You know, they've stood up to me, and they're not like everybody else that stood up to me and talked about me. There's something different, and Jesus is still wanting to show up in the midst of our trials. He said, look, he answered, I see four, and walking in the midst of the fire, they're not hurt. They're not hurt. That's a choice. Are you going to be hurt? Are you going to be holy? Now, I know it's our natural tendency to be a little hurt when we're bullied and we're all, but you don't have to, don't stay there and choose not to be hurt. Are you with me? That's a choice. Well, I can't help it. Yes, you can, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So they're walking around and they're not physically burning, he says. Verse 27, Oh, look at verse 26. Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fire furnace. Remember, this is a guy full of rage and fury, right? Somebody stood up and watched his countenance change. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Servants of the Most High God. Come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and all the administrators came. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angels and delivered his servants, who trusted in him. See, that's the king saying that, not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They just stood, and then the bully, the dictator, is speaking this truth himself because he's seen what it looks like when somebody that's holy and righteous stands for what needs to be stood up for. They trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word. Listen, if they'd have got back in his face, they'd have burnt probably for sure. God said, well, you want to handle it your way? Well, then burn and I'll see you when on the other side. But they didn't. Listen, so the question is, do you want to handle it the way you want to do it or do you want God to for you? That's our question today. If we want to do it God's way, we do it with a good attitude, with prayer, with, my line that I've drawn is about my morals, my convictions. It's not about you. It's not personal to you. But, you know, you've overstepped, and so here's what we're dealing with today, and we're going to take a stand right here about the way we're treated and how what we allow you to do. And so he says, verse 29, therefore I make a decree. Oh, he's going to make a new decree. Listen, bullies can make a new decree if they see Christians that will stand up and have them be accounted for. How many's ever done that? You know, you don't have to raise your hand. But how many's ever stood and you've watched somebody give an account and change? I've seen that over the years. I don't know how many times. Just stand up. This is out of order. You know, you're using your weight. You're trying to use whatever. And watch the countenance. The bullies change. And be great people. Be great people. Therefore, I make a decree that any person, people, nation, language speaks any amiss against God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here's the bully. This, you know, a bully will always be a bully. He cannot, you know, he just seen a beautiful thing with three men that's serving their God faithfully. But this is the only way he knows how to make a decree. Out of this beautiful thing, he says, if they speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Isn't that amazing? He didn't ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what should we do now, and how does this work? And he just makes another decree. Okay, I was going to put you in the furnace if you didn't bow. Now I'm going to cut your head off and burn your house down if you ever say anything bad about their God. Now, watch, and we'll close. It says, Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You want a promotion or you want a demotion? If you want to handle it in the flesh, go ahead. We can. How many knows God will just let us? He'll just let us handle it in the flesh. That's probably what I get in trouble for more than the kingdom and anything. Just getting ahead of God, trying to handle it in my time instead of God's time. Whatever we're getting ready to do, or, you know, I'm always out trying to help God out. How many just likes to help God out? I'm going to help him. He's a little slow, so I'm going to just help him. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But whenever a wicked man rules, the people groan. What's people doing around you in your authority? Are they rejoicing or groaning? And you might say, well, it depends on which day it is. Well, it should be every day, shouldn't it? Let's strive for that. Father, thank you for showing us in a bad situation where godly men were taken from their country and placed under a dictator, stood for their principles, and they would not be bullied. Thank you for the great outcome. Thank you for teaching us today that, you know what, if we'll stand for what's right and not try to fix things under our own power and own authority and take on an attitude that's ungodly, that you can do great things. You'll show up and you'll show yourself so powerful in our midst, whether it's in a husband and wife team or a family or an organization or a church, wherever it is, wherever we live, if we'll hold our tongue and hold our peace, when it doesn't benefit us, and we'll take a stand and confront issues that needs to be confronted with a good attitude. With a godly attitude, there can be a great outcome of promotion and blessing and favor. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that and reminding us that it is our part to pray for those in authority, not to talk about them, not to run them down or slander their name, or return what they've given to us. And as we do that, Thank you for reminding us today that there's blessing in that. There's promotion in that. There's favor in that. So help us to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and not like so many that take the lower route and operate in the flesh. Grant it, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. All the church said, Amen.